Good morning, church. Good to be with all of you here this morning. God bless all of you for making it out again for another Sunday. Praise the Lord for that. Thank the Lord we're able to gather in His house. Amen. I had preached here a couple of weeks ago, probably maybe longer than that, on contending for the faith. And we're going to continue on down that path here this morning. I'm going to be talking about the Trinity this morning. And I want you to bear with me on this morning so as we get into it. But I'm going to start off, we're going to be over in Jude, verse 3, where we start at. Then I want you to turn to the last chapter of 2 Corinthians. The last chapter, the last verse of 2 Corinthians. But anyway, we'll start off in Jude 3. Whenever you get there, you can please stand and we'll read God's Word together this morning. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And if you would you please turn to 2 Corinthians 13:14, which is the last verse of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 13:14. And I want you to pay close attention to this. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I want to come and give you the thanks and that you so richly deserve, Lord. I want to praise you this morning. I ask, Father, that you would just send out this message today the way that you would have it. I pray, Lord, for your grace, for your comfort, for all that you give us each and every day. Lord, I praise you for that. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your Son, Jesus, and I thank you for the Holy Spirit. And we ask it all in Jesus' name, and amen. You may be seated. Thank you. First off, I want to thank you for your prayers and your concerns. Like I know I wasn't here Wednesday night. I stayed out in a truck. Didn't really feel that good Wednesday night, and I'm just not going to take a chance. Whenever I'm like that, I'm just not going to do that. If I have to, I'll stay out in the truck. I will do whatever it takes. It's just the way that I feel, and I strongly encourage you to do the same thing. I really do. If there's any hint of it, please just stay home or come and sit in the car and just enjoy the services with us that way. But I'll give you a little story about that. They just read this morning where they were having a birthday party. This was in another country, but they were having a Christmas party. And there was 120 people there, all of them fully vaccinated. It's almost 60 to 70% of them got COVID. Yep. So I'm just here to tell you, be careful. Be careful. And just whenever you're out there with it. So I just praise the Lord that neither here nor there, let's go on with it now. Anyway, like I said, in 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit would be with you all. Amen. Like I said, I would like to continue on with defending the essential truths of the Bible. And this morning, I want to talk about the Trinity because I believe that is an essential truth of the Bible. Amen. Now, if you were to look for the Trinity in the Bible, how many of you got Bibles in here? You got a concordance. You're not going to find Trinity in it. You're not going to find the word Trinity in the Bible. You won't find it anywhere. You won't find first and second Trinity in the Bible because it's not there that way. Now, neither is the rapture. You're not going to find the word rapture in there, but that doesn't mean there isn't going to be a rapture one of these days, right? So I want to talk about the Trinity. Some would say, because it was a man-made explanation that it came along 100 years ago, if you want to see that there's no basis to it. But now I want to show you something. I want to show you where you can find the Trinity at. I want you to go to the first chapter of Matthew. I want you to go to the first chapter of Matthew. And you're going to probably think I'm nuts, but I want you to go to the first chapter of Matthew. And I want you to go to the last chapter of the Old Testament, which is Malachi. That's the last chapter of the Old Testament, or the last book of the Old Testament, and the first book of the New Testament. You see this little crease that runs right there between them? right there, that's where you'll find the doctrine of the Trinity. Okay, you're saying, what are you talking about, Dave? The New Testament was written 70 years after the Trinity. They talked about it all during that time. The whole thing was right there. That's where it's at. But it wasn't written down. So for somebody to come and say, well, it's not been written down. It's not. It absolutely is a doctrine that's in the Bible. It is in there. And I will prove it here to you this morning. Listen, that little creek, roughly 470 years passed from the end of Malachi until the first book was written in the New Testament. That's where you'll find the doctrine of the Trinity at its strongest. All right. Remember, as I continue this morning, I want you to understand there are three essential truths that you must remember. There is only one true God. Do you agree with that? There's one true God. There are three, second truth, there are three divine persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the second truth. And the third truth is this. Now listen, they're distinguished from one another. The Father is not the Son is not the Spirit, and the Spirit is not the Father. But they are three distinct individuals. They are. And even when the Son prays the Father, when Jesus prays the Father, he used personal pronouns. That's what he did. Like in John 5:17, this is what it says. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." He was talking in a personal pronoun. He was talking about his Father. That's who he was talking about. That's who he was talking about. John 17:5. Now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self and with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. The Father praised the Son. And he did that with a personal pronoun. You find that over in Matthew 3:17. He said this, and lo, a voice from heaven, you know the scripture, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He used personal pronouns. Jesus talked about God being separate. God talked about the Son being separate. John 14:16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you what? Another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. What are they talking about? They're talking about the Holy Spirit. Do you see where I'm coming at this through? They were all distinct individuals, distinct beings. That's what they were. And there, listen, and the third truth, and I want to get this across because this is important, the equality of all three of them. Now, an equal sign is not like what we think it is sometimes. Look at the resurrection in the New Testament. And the Father raised the Son from the dead. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:14. And God has both raised up the Lord and also raised up by his own power the Son. That's what he said. That's what they said. And the Son says he received back his life on his own authority. Did you know that? Jesus said, I laid down my life. I laid it down freely, right? John 10:18. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. The commandment have I received from who? From my Father. Now, what I'm getting to is I want you guys to understand, there's one God, but there are three different, distinct beings, that individuals there are there. That is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. Look at Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Isn't that awesome? Isn't it just, now just think about that just for a little bit. Now, you see, the Father and the Son and the Spirit were all involved in the resurrection. All of them were involved in the resurrection. Three distinct things. That's why I say we can stand upon the truth this morning that there is a Trinity. Now, we may not understand it. We may not. I'm here to tell you this morning, as I dug into this, there is scripture I never ever thought that applied to the Trinity. But as I dug into it, I found out it is all through the New Testament. It is all through the Old Testament. It's just there. The people, it didn't come out and say that the Trinity, doesn't say that in there, but it's all through it. And there are some denominations, and I'll get to that here later, that it's just they don't believe it. In Genesis 1, and we know this scripture, Genesis 1, 1 and 2, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And what does it say was there? The Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. It was there. There is the Father and the Spirit. So where's the Son? You go to Colossians 1, 10 and 16. And it says this, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering and joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father who has made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saint, who has delivered us with the power from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. There you go. I in whom have redemption through the blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created. Amen. At creation, you had God, you had the Holy Spirit, and here it tells us that Jesus Christ was the Creator. Now, just let that sink in. For those people who do not believe in the Trinity or who do not want to consider the Trinity, this says it, a lot of it right here. He said he was there for the creation. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. That's what the scripture says. They were there. All through the Bible, the Trinity is taught. We don't have a first and second book of Trinity. We don't have that. Now the God's revelation concerning this. We have his revelation. We have his word. We have it. When Paul wrote 2 Corinthians, the scripture I read there in Corinthians, it was just a given that they understood what was going on. Those people understood that there was a Trinity. They understood it. There was no doubt in their minds. Sometimes we don't do that, do we? Sometimes we question a lot of things. But they didn't question it back then. By the time they had written the New Testament, Jesus had come. He had died. He had been resurrected. The Holy Spirit had already been poured out. He said in the New Testament church had already been set on fire for him. And I said that the doctrine of Trinity can be found in that crease between Matthew and Malachi. That's where we find the doctrine of the Trinity. Right there. If anybody asks you where you want to find it, you tell them it was right there. In that 470 years, that's where it was at. The Old Testament was full. And full of the God the Father. And the Trinity was mentioned in the Old Testament, by the way. Let's look at John 8, 56 and 58, by the way. Let's look at that first because I want to start there, and I know you'll know this scripture. John 8, 56 and 58. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. When said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old. Hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus saith unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, what did the Jews want to do to him right then? They wanted to stone him. Because they said he was blasting, because they knew whenever he said, I am, what he was saying. He was saying, I'm God. He said, literally, he said, I am God. That's literally what he, pretty much what he was saying. I am. I am. Remember back in the Bible, it was saying, I am? They wanted to stone him. Now, when did Abraham and Jesus get together? Okay, let's go back to Genesis 18. Whenever, you know the story in Genesis 18. Remember, whenever the angels, the three men, it says, come to Abraham, and they were there and they were talking, and they told Abraham that Sarah is going to have a child, is going to have a son in her old age. Remember, she laughed and said, what'd you laugh for? Then he said, well, I'm going to go to Sodom and Gomorrah, and I'm going to check out the sin that is in Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham walked with him and talked with him. He said, well, what if there's this many left? Would it be okay? And would you not destroy it for that? Would you not destroy it for this? Would you not destroy it for that? And he said, yes, if we can find that many, we won't destroy it. But of course they did, and we know. Now, turn over to Genesis 19, 24, because this is something I want you to get. I didn't realize this until I studied it here this past week. And it just really took me by something. I know it's a little different here this morning, but whenever we're talking about taking and contending for the faith, I believe we need to know what we're talking about here. Genesis 19, 24, and it says this. Now get this. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire. Then what's it say? From the Lord. Out of heaven. Did you get that? And the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord. If you look that up, it's two different things. Did you know that? Yes. What it's talking about is Jesus, when he was here, when he seen what was going on, he called the fire and brimstone down and he talked to God in heaven and God sent it. That's why they're saying, well, he said, before Abraham, I was. Listen, and overthrew the cities and all the plains and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. So can Yahweh, and this is what it's talking about, can Yahweh call brimstone and fire from Yahweh in heaven to send it down? You see what I'm saying? There was two distinct individuals here. One of them was calling it down, and the other one sent it. That's what he was trying to say. Because it was Jesus that was calling it to happen. Jesus was here walking with Abraham. Everybody understood about the Trinity back then. They understood it. In Genesis 6:3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with men. They knew this is a spirit. They were talking about the spirit back then. And again, we see God in the Holy Spirit. Before one single word of the New Testament was written down, everything had already happened. The incarnation, the death, the burial, the resurrection, his ascension into heaven, and the pouring of the Holy Spirit, and the revelation of the Trinity happened before one single word of the New Testament was ever written down. They understood it. Now listen, if Greg and Julie are talking about the ice cream social out here. Now, what I'm saying is, and there was a specific event that happened in the ice cream social. They wouldn't have to go into every detail every time about it. They would know. Greg would say, well, do you? Yeah, and they would know. The people that they were talking to in a new town knew that the Trinity was there. They didn't have to go into every little detail and say, well, this is, explain it, well, this is the Father, this is the Son, this is the Holy Spirit, these are three different entities, these are three different things, but yet they are the same Yahweh, the same God. I cannot give you, I had it, but I cannot say it, the translation of the word for each one. But when you go to the Holy Spirit, to the Father, and to the Son, each one of them has the exact same title at the end of it, but it's a little different at the front of it. That's how it is in the Greek. That's how it is. And that's why they say that it's a distinct three different things. The people that they understood it, they never even thought to use it. We're having a baptism, by the way. here. Most of you know that here Saturday. And the Trinity is revealed in that. You say, where? Matthew 28:19. I'll use that scripture later. And it says this: go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name, and that is singular, by the way. That's singular, of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's three different things. They were all involved in baptism. Being baptized, that makes you what? If you baptize, I know Sarah's here today, but anybody that's ever been baptized, that makes you property of the one that's mentioned. Did you know that? Whenever you're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, that makes you property of the one that you're being baptized by. That name, they understood that back then. Today we kind of go past that. But listen, that makes you their property. I want to show you something in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul is dealing with a practical issue, by the way. And there's at that time, if you go to chapter 8, there's a temple on every corner. There was idolatry everywhere. And in fact, it was part of their economy. It was part of their economy. People would come from all over Greece, all over Asia Minor, and what they would do, they would come here to worship at these different temples, and they would have all kinds of sacrifices. And what was going on was, there was these Christians, they would exchange money, and Paul was addressing a practical, what happened was, that whenever they would get done with this meat, what meat was left, that was offered to all these different idols, they'd put it out in the meat market. So these Christian people were asking Paul a question: should we partake in that? And you got to understand, these people were once part of those people that did this idol worshiping. And so they're asking Paul, should we be partaking in eating this meat that's been offered to idols? And a bunch of people who were former idol worshippers were asking him this. And that almost every bit of the meat, like I said, almost every bit of it had been offered to idols. So you get a very clear picture. Listen, in 1 Corinthians 8, you can get a very clear picture of what the separation here and of some of the Trinity when you look at this. Now, as touching things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge just puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him, as concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols. We know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. Now go ahead. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, we in him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ. You see, there's a distinction. There's a separation there. By whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge, for some was conscious of the idols, unto this hour eat as a thing offered unto an idol, and their consciences being weak and defiled. Listen, if you get into a lot of different scriptures in the Bible, especially that, whenever they're dealing with stuff, you'll find out that they're making a distinction between them. Can I tell you that whenever it comes to salvation, all three of them are involved, like you said this morning? The Father, of course the Son did his job, and the Holy Spirit. All three are involved in that. All three of them are involved in salvation. All three of them are involved in creation. All three of them are involved in a lot of different things. Jesus, and in chapter 4, the woman at the well, Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when all shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye know not what we know, what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Do you understand that you cannot truly worship God without understanding the Trinity? Did you know that? You can't truly worship God without understanding the Trinity. And what are you saying, Dave? Listen, you understand what it's talking about when we're, you got to understand God to truly worship God. Am I right? You got to understand what God is to truly worship Him. You got to understand what Jesus is to truly worship Him. You got to understand what the Holy Spirit is to truly worship through Him. That is just here. It said you're not going. It says it here. True worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. You can't. That's why it's important for us to understand what the Trinity is to all of us. We must understand who God is and truly worship Him. We got to understand. There are some denominations that teach that don't teach the doctrine of the Trinity. The United Pentecostal Church don't teach it. You know that? They don't teach it. They teach that you are baptized in the name of Jesus only. That's how they teach it. Also, Jehovah's Witnesses. Jehovah's Witnesses don't. The Mormonisms, Universalism Church. They all these don't teach the doctrine of the Trinity. They don't believe in the Trinity. I think one of them is, I think it's the Jehovah's Witnesses, they talk about that God is the Father, Jesus is the Archangel Michael, and then the Holy Spirit is like some kind of conduit power that's in the place. They don't teach it the way that is taught in the Bible. So you've got to be careful whenever you're listening. And the reason I bring this out, you can contend for the faith. How many of us just shut the door on a Jehovah's Witness and maybe don't even go to the door whenever they come? Brothers and sisters, we need to be able to talk to them because there are people, there are souls going to hell.
That's right. We need to convert them. Praise the Lord.
That's right. Those people need to be converted. Mormonism, those people need to be converted. Absolutely. Listen, we pray a lot for our lost loved ones. Brothers and sisters, there's a lot of people that have false doctrines out here in this world that are dying and going to hell because of what they believe. Listen, because they don't believe it's taught in Scripture or in history. And it absolutely is taught in Scripture and in history. And if you look into these denominations, you'll not find true worship in them. That's my point. There is not true worship. In one of them, there may be a lot of sensual, filling spirit stuff. They say is spirit-filled stuff worship. I don't agree with that. Folks, in the Bible, we see pagans worshiping God that they don't know. You understand that? Boy, Acts 17:23, for I passed by and beheld your devotion. I found an altar in this inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore we ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you. Paul declared who the true God was. He tried to, and unfortunately there are many churches doing the same today. They do that. Remember the three truths that I mentioned earlier. There is only one divine God. There are three divine persons. I'm not saying beings, three divine persons who are distinguished from one another. There's the Father, there's the Son, and there's the Holy Spirit. Remember that. Whenever people try to say something else, they are different roles in salvation. Every one of them has a different role in salvation. They are fully and completely God. Do you understand that? Every one of them are fully and completely God, every one of them. The Father is God, Ephesians 4:6, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, in all. Jesus is God, Hebrews 1:8. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. And the Holy Spirit, Acts 5:3, 4, and 8, says this, but Peter said, Ananias, has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remaineth, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Hast thou conceived the things in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto man, but hast lied unto God. The equity of all three of those deities. Matthew 28:19, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them, again I say this, in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Why should we believe the Trinity? It's not because I want you to believe it because I'm telling you to believe it. I want you to believe it because that's what the Bible says we should believe. You can take and you can think what you want to, but listen to me, it's what it gets down to, it is the Bible. As I said before, the sola scriptura. And what I mean by that, because this Bible is the sole infallible source and authority for a Christian. Right here. It doesn't matter what some commentary says or what some other preacher says. What it matters is right here. One last illustration I want to give you for the Holy Spirit. I brought this morning, and I've heard people use it before. You know what that is? That's an egg, right? Just an egg. But you guys know that there's more to this than just an egg, right? Okay, if I crack it and I peel it, what's the outside of it? It's a shell, right? That's a shell. There's one part of it. That it's still an egg, but there's one part of it. To me, I say that's the Holy Spirit. Right there. What's the next part of it? You got the egg white, right? You got the white. Right there it is. That's another part of that egg. And then you got another part, which is what I say is Jesus Christ. And right here's the center of it. This is the yolk. That is God. That's my illustration, my little illustration that I have for what the Trinity is. Now, I held up there an egg. And that's true. That is an egg. But it's obvious there's more parts to that than just an egg. Whenever we're talking about the Trinity, there's more parts to that God than just simply God. And God is all powerful. There is one true God. I hope I didn't confuse anybody this morning. I hope that I made some sense with it this morning. Because that was my intention this morning. I want people to understand. And I may be talking to the choir. Maybe nobody in here has ever had an issue with that. But I've been in churches enough down through my life to know that there are some people sitting in churches that don't understand what the Trinity is about. How can it be? How can God be? Because He is. Because He is. We are not eternal beings. I mean, in a sense, we are not eternal beings. There's not three different parts of us in here. There's soul and spirit, right? With the Father, He's an eternal being. The Holy Spirit has been there. He's been an eternal being. God, Jesus has always been with the Father. You see what I'm saying? One group believes that God created Jesus and sent Him down here. That's what one group believes. That's not what my Bible says. That's why it's important for us to understand what saith the Word of God. The Trinity of God. The teaching of it, and knowing that brothers and sisters, right in between that crease, if anybody ever asks you, right there where the doctrine of the Trinity is found, right there, because and they're going to look at you like you're crazy, like you guys did it maybe, that's fine, but explain to them what they're talking about. Let them understand. I'll tell you, praise God this morning, that, you know what? I thank God that we're going to have a baptism in a little bit.
Amen.
I thank God that Jesus is still, and God is still in a saving business, and that His Son died upon that cross, and He said He willingly laid down His life for that.
Right.
Willingly laid down His life for you and me. And the brothers and sisters, once we accept Him into our heart, that the Holy Spirit, that's part of God. That's God dwelling in us. Do you understand that? That's part of God dwelling in us, the Holy Spirit. And that should make all of us sit up and pay attention. It should make all of us sit up and pay attention.